you grab your Bibles with me, please? You know, it's important to know that we are not just marking time. I'll say that again. We're not just marking time. In the day-to-day of life, sometimes it can feel like that's what we're doing, right? It's like, well, you know, it's Wednesday. Here we go. I don't know. You know, we're going to just have service again. And it can almost, if I'm not careful, my mentality can become, I'm not saying anyone has this, please don't misunderstand me, but we can move into the mode of I'm just marking time. But we really aren't. We're seeking to walk in the leading of the Spirit of God, function with purpose. There's great value in our coming together. And the Scripture admonishes us to do so even so much more as we see the day of the return of the Lord approaching. And if you don't see it approaching, your eyes are closed. Because I'm telling you, it's coming. You can look, the signs of the times are all around us. Scripture says, as it was in the days of Noah. I'm telling you, it's just like it was in the days of Noah. Eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. Men lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. Lovers of pleasure, right? Dishonorable to their parents. Disobedient. All these things. We're seeing it right now. And on top of all that, look at what's happening in the Middle East. And the signs are there. Amen. I want to work while it's day, don't you? Praise God. I want to start in the book of Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And mark your place there because we'll go back to Romans 8 tonight in these next few minutes that we spend together. I feel like I need to say this. I'm not speaking tonight as one that has what I'm teaching figured out. Okay? Sometimes there is this pressure that comes with sharing the truth of the Word of God that says, man, can I share it when I haven't figured it out yet? And so what I'm sharing with you tonight, I'm inviting you on a journey with me. Is that all right? And I think many of us are already on the journey together in what I'm going to share. But I want you to know that as we dig into it this evening, that I'm not standing here as the example of this in every facet, okay? And so pray for me, and let's walk this road together. Amen? Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 8. Let's just go back to verse 5. I know you guys love it when I do that because I know how that screen thing works and you find a place. And so can we go back? Oh, look, they are so fast now. Romans 8 and 5. For they that are after the flesh, they mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, they mind the things of the Spirit. Doesn't say that, but it's assumed, right? This is we understand the language. They that are after the flesh, they pay attention, they give attention to, they give energy and effort to, they mind the things of the flesh. They that are after the Spirit, they do give energy and effort and attention and time to the things of the Spirit. That's what it means to mind those things, right? Why would it be that way? Why? Verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, or fleshly minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Anybody interested in life and peace? Well, here's an answer. Life and peace. Pursue spiritual things. Mind spiritual things. Verse 7, why is this the case? Because the carnal mind or the fleshly mind, it's enmity against God. It opposes God. My fleshly mind and thinking opposes God. James said that there is wisdom from this world, and he said the wisdom of this world is sensual. It's feeling, emotion-based. It's sensual. It's devilish. But then there's wisdom from above, and it's gentle. It's peaceable. It's easy to be entreated. It's without partiality. It's without hypocrisy. All right? So we see the difference between the carnal mind. Fleshly mind is enmity. It opposes God. Matter of fact, the fleshly mind is not subject to the law of God, and it can't be. You and I can't make our fleshly carnal mind be subject to the word of God and the law of God. Can't be. So I have to begin to mind spiritual things. Is that making sense? So then, verse 8, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. We want to please God, don't we? That was sort of weak. We want to please God, don't we? Amen. We do. We want to please God. I know we do. But we can't do that in the flesh. It's got to be in the spirit. But now watch verse 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man doesn't have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And verse 10, if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken or make alive your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. And everybody said amen. Now it's interesting, if you were paying attention there and you were reading or counting, and you probably weren't, but if you go back and look, and don't do it now, what we're going to talk about for the next few minutes tonight is a study that I am certain I have not exhausted, but the Lord has just been dealing with me about for the last several months. And I keep coming back and I look at something so I'm hoping that tonight, by the work of the Word and the Spirit of God, there would be something stirred in us, but also provoked in us to begin to study ourselves in the Word and see what the Word would tell us. Now, it's interesting what we read here in these verses, especially verse 9, 10, and 11. We see mentioned at least four times of Christ or the Spirit of Christ dwelling in you, right? In you. We know, of course, that is the baptism of the gift of the Holy Ghost. When you and I receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking in other tongues as his Spirit gives the utterance, that is Christ dwelling in us. The writer of Colossians, the Apostle Paul, he said in Colossians 1:27 that Christ in you is the hope of glory. Aren't you thankful? Christ in you is the hope of glory. But have you ever had this question? Maybe, I know you have because you're as human as I am. You ever had this question? Maybe you didn't verbalize it, but you've had it in your mind. Like, if I'm filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, if Christ is in me, then why do I? How come this is so? Why is it difficult to? Why do I struggle with? If Christ is in me, if the Spirit of God dwells in me, how come I don't? You, raise your hand if you've ever asked a question like that or had a thought like that. Look around. I've had those same questions at times. Like, why? I've had it about myself. I've had it when I'm praying for others. I've had it praying for some of you. Like, Lord, why are they? I know they have the Holy Ghost. I don't quite. Why is this bad? What's going on? And so I believe in having faith. I have faith. I believe in trusting the Lord. There's some things he doesn't give us answers to. We just walk by faith. We trust him. But there's some things where I'm like, Lord, I need answers. Talk to me. I want to understand, because I know it's not the will of God for us to be filled with the Spirit of God, but still battle and struggle with certain things that some do. So I'm asking the Lord, why is it that some can be filled with the Holy Ghost and struggle with this, but others can be filled with the Holy Ghost? And don't get too caught up on a thing. I'm speaking broadly by design, because we're going to turn in just a second. And I felt like the Spirit of the Lord began dealing with me through the Word. The more I would read, and said, because people have the Holy Ghost in them, but there's another transition I need them to make. And receiving the Holy Ghost was supposed to take them there. But some have settled for simply receiving the Holy Ghost. Are you with me so far? Okay. Now, I started where I did in Romans 8, rather than the beginning of Romans 8, and we'll go back to that in a minute. Because what we read in Romans 8 followed, of course, earlier verses. And so we'll have fuller context when we go back. But I'd first like us to go to the book of John chapter 15. John chapter 15 and verse number 1. Very familiar to many. John 15 and verse 1, Jesus Christ is speaking. And he's talking about Christ himself and the church. If you study this out in John 15, he's speaking of himself and the church. So we're just going to start there with verse number 1 in John 15. Listen to what Jesus is saying. Jesus said, I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. He's the one that takes care of it. Every branch where? Say that loud, those words. Every branch where? In me. Jesus said, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, what does he do? He takes it away. And every branch that bears fruit, what does he do with it? He purges it or he prunes it. Why does he prune it? Or why does he take the ones that don't bear fruit away? He does all of that so that it, the branch, can bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. Verse 4. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. I read that verse. I've read it 1,000 times. I know this passage of scripture. I've taught from it, preached from it. You've heard it. Look what he said. He said, abide in me and I in you. And I was reading this one day and the Lord said, there's the issue. People want me to abide in them when they receive the Holy Ghost. But they haven't yet made the transition where they're also abiding in me. It's not enough for Christ to abide in us. That's the infilling of the Holy Ghost. I have to learn to make my abode, my place of living, in him. And what happens sometimes, right, we have to learn to cast off the works of the flesh. We have to learn to cast off carnal thinking, the carnal mind. We have to learn to cast off those things. But sometimes, sometimes what happens is people go, man, I repented. I was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of my sins, and you must be. And I received the gift of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. I thought that was going to fix everything. No. Now you've got to learn this God that dwells in you, the indwelling Spirit of God. Now you have to learn to live in him. It's not enough for him to just live in you. To be victorious, you got to live in him. Jesus said, abide in me and I in you. You can't bring forth fruit if you don't abide in me. Those were his words. Verse 5, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, what happens? If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch. Now, Jesus didn't say, but it depends on whether I abide in him or not. There's got to be a progression in our spiritual walk with God. Paul said it this way. He said, I'm trying to lay hold of what got a hold of me. He said, I've not yet apprehended, But I'm trying to apprehend that which apprehended me. The Spirit of God got a hold of me and caused me to go, you know what? I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. But he said, hey, I'm not just trying to let Christ live in me. I want to live in him. We see this from his other writing. Paul was saying, I'm laying hold of what's laid a hold of me. This isn't just a one-way deal. God bless me. God help me. God fill me. God lead me. God guide me. God do this. God do that. No, no. I'm making some changes too. I'm abiding in him. I'm pursuing him. I'm following after him. I'm laying hold of him. I want to know what pleases him. I want to know what blesses him. I want to know what honors him. It's a two-way deal. He lives in me, but I'm learning to live in him. I used to live in this world, but I changed abodes when he lived in me. That's why we can sing that old song. This world is not my home. Why? Because when he started living in me, I said, hold on. This world is temporal, but I now have something eternal. The eternal one lives within me. I want to make my abode in the eternal. He has made us to sit together with him. Where? Oh, he didn't say in earthly places. He has made us to sit together with him in heavenly places. This is a revelation we need to get so that we begin going, hey, I got to change where I'm living. What does that look like? What does abiding in him look like? Well, as much of our living for the Lord is, our abiding in him has to start with how we think. Are my thoughts in him, in his word, in that which pleases him? Where does my mind live? Where does my thought life live? Is it in him? We got to learn to do that. I don't even know what verse I was on. 6. I'm so thankful for screens. If a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered. Men gather them, cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Verse 7, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will, and it shall be done to you. What a promise. That's a promise of living in him. Abiding in him. The word abide simply means a place of dwelling, a place of living. And what happens often in our human nature is, this thought just came to me, this is in the notes. I'm not trying to be funny, this is just the way it came to me. We treat the Lord like an Airbnb. I have a residence, but I want it, you know, when I need to get away, when I need a break from things, when I need some rest, when, I just want to clear my mind. Okay, let me go visit my spiritual Airbnb. Then I'll abide in him. But then as soon as I feel better, I'm going to go back to living in what I was living in. Rather than changing residence altogether. Changing resident, I'm talking about in our mind, in our heart, in our spirit, in our action, in our attitude, our lifestyle. It becomes an abiding in him. And so what happens is we live in this state of, oh, today I'm in him. Oh, no, now I'm back. Okay, now I'm back in Joel's world. Now I'm back in it. I have to determine, am I going to abide in him? This is the invitation of the Holy One. Abide in me. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you will. How does that come? It comes because you've made your dwelling there. You know, none of our children live at our house now. And when they visit, they act like they do sometimes. And that's okay. It really is. It's okay. I'm not bothered by that most of the time unless they took like my last, you know, slice of cake that I planned to eat or something. And I mean, I'm like, hold on a minute. But, you know, when they lived at home It got to a point where they didn't ask permission to go to the refrigerator and get something to eat or reach into the... Why? Because they live there. So when they live there, they just... what they will. That's where they abode. Now, if you came and visited my house... yeah? I love you, Brother Jared. But Brother Jared and Sister Linda come and visit my house, and Brother Jared walks in the kitchen and says, man, I'm hungry. He starts opening the refrigerator, digging around a little bit. Now, I'm not going to be like, bro, get out of my kitchen. What are you doing? I'm going to go, well, I'm glad he's comfortable. Just being real, that's probably how I'm thinking. I'm glad he's comfortable. I want him to be comfortable. I hope he finds it. Clearly, he's hungry. Right? But I'm probably going to be thinking, okay, this something ain't right, man. This guy's acting like this is his house, but he don't live here. Yes? Same if I came to your house and I walked into your kitchen, open, like, whoa, love you, elder, but this ain't your house. But when it's your house, when it's where you live, when it's where you live, this is what the Holy Ghost is inviting us to. He said, if you abide in me, if the place you live is in me, and my word lives in you, when I'm not your temporary visit place, when you've made your abode in Christ, you can ask what you will, and it'll be done. I think this is what this is the scripture that comes back to me. You've heard it. In my Father's house, right, are many mansions. That word translated mansion, but it really, the word is rooms. There's many rooms. And it's not talking about heaven. Go study it. We don't have time for that Bible study tonight. Many of you have heard it. But in my Father's house are many rooms. There's room for everybody. You can have a place in him. There's a place reserved for you and I in him. I think of the scriptures. The psalmist must have recognized it, though he wasn't filled with the Spirit. He even understood. There's a place that I can go. The psalmist said in Psalm 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High God. He learned something about being in a place where God lives. He shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He won't be afraid of the terror by day. He won't be worried about arrows flying. He didn't care about 1,000 falling here or 10,000 there. Why? Because he's dwelling. That's a place of living. He dwells in the secret place. Whose secret place? The secret place of the Most High God. Even without the Holy Ghost, the psalmist understood the principle of making his dwelling place in God. I would submit to you, you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's going to quicken your mortal body. But you need to learn to not just have him in you. We must learn to live in him. It was the Apostle Paul on Mars Hill that spoke these words. He passed by the tomb or the altar to the unknown God. He said, whom you ignorantly worship, him I declare to you. He said he doesn't dwell in temples made with hands. So he was talking to them about where he dwelt. He doesn't dwell with temples made with hands. This is what he said, right? But he's not far from every one of us. Just feel after him. You can find him. He's close. But then he makes this statement to them. He said, now he's talking about feeling after them and where he dwells, where the Lord dwells. But then he says, feel after him. He said, for in him, Acts 17:28, I believe it is, he said, in him we live, in him we move, and in him we have our being. He didn't say him in us causes us to live. Him in us is, and I know him in us quickens us and gives us life. But Paul said, in him we have our purpose for existing. That's what that literally means, have our being. In him, this is why someone can be filled with the Holy Ghost but feel like they still don't have any purpose in their life. The Holy Ghost will lead us, but it leads us to a place of abiding in him. And when we learn to make our abode in him, we find our purpose for existing and our purpose for living. Because our purpose is no longer to see our benefit, it's for, to, and through him. Amen. Go back to Romans chapter 8, please. Now, we read those verses at the outset where it talked about if the Spirit of God that dwelled in Christ dwell in you, if he dwell in you, dwell in you, in you, in you. We're going to go back to the beginning of the chapter so that we get a picture. This is what Paul said to the church at Rome. Many of you can quote this. There is therefore now what? No condemnation to them which have the gift of the Holy Ghost. Is that what it says? How many of you have been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost and have dealt with condemnation? Raise your hand. Look at that. You're filled with the Spirit of God, but you deal with condemnation. But the Scripture says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Where you live affects whether condemnation can get to you or not. When you and I are in Christ, there's no condemnation. But when I have Christ in me, but I'm not abiding in him, the adversary takes opportunity. There's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Now watch verse 2. There is a law. Did you know that? Don't you like laws? Some of you are like, well, hold on a minute. I like the law of God. I'm thankful for the laws of the Word of God. Amen. They're health to us. Look at verse 2. There is a law of the Spirit of life. Is that what it says? There is a law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, what has it done? It has made me free from the law of sin and of death. It doesn't say the law of Christ Jesus in you. It's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That sets you and I free. That means no condemnation. Sin doesn't have a hold on me. I don't fear death. I'm in Christ. I'm in Christ. In him I live. In him I move. In him I have my being. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Many of you can quote it. You don't have to turn there. You can if you want to. But the Scripture is very clear. It doesn't say if any man have Christ in them, he's a new creature. We've often proclaimed it that way. But Paul said to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians 5:17, he said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I want to be careful here. I know that we are buried with Christ through baptism, so that we also should walk in newness of life. Is that how it says? That you also should? Also doesn't mean it's automatic. You should also walk in newness of life. But Paul said that the way that I'm a new creature, now, when you and I receive the baptism of the gift of the Holy Ghost, we now have the fullness of the Spirit of God operating in our life to will and to work as we yield to His Spirit to will and to work. Just because I receive the Holy Ghost, you receive the Holy Ghost, doesn't mean the Holy Ghost now takes full control. We have to yield to the Holy Ghost and allow the Spirit of God to lead us and guide us daily. Right? God doesn't say, I filled you with my Spirit, now I take full control of your mind. You are now this robot that I do. No, no. He doesn't take away our human will just because He fills us with His Spirit. We then get up every day and we die to our will so that we can live according to the will of God. That's part of learning to abide in Him. Dying to myself is changing where I live. I used to live according to my flesh, but I'm changing addresses. I now am seeking and learning to live in Him. And if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. All things don't become new just the moment you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I've lived long enough to know that's not the case. I wish it was. But now you have the power dwelling in you. And so if I'll purpose, I'm going to lay hold of what got a hold of me. I begin to see the transformative work of His Spirit in me and me in Him. We must learn what it is to be in Christ Jesus. Remember what I said at the outset. I haven't got this figured out. The Apostle Paul, after he made those statements about I'm trying to apprehend that which is apprehended in me, he made this statement to Timothy, the oft-quoted verse. He said, I've not yet laid hold of it, but I'm trying. But he said, this one thing I do. He said, I'm forgetting those things which are behind, and I'm pressing toward those things which are ahead. I press toward what? The mark of the high calling of God. Where? Where's that? In Christ Jesus. I'm pressing toward the mark, the prize of the high calling of God. And he learned it's in Christ Jesus. It's not Christ Jesus in me. That's part of the process. But it's me in him. The prize is in Christ Jesus. I want to live in him. I want to abide in him. I want my mind to be in him. I want the mind of Christ in me, but I want my mind in Christ. I want the Word of God in me, and I want to be in the Word of God. I want to change where I live. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Colossians 3, one other place here in Scripture I'd like to share with you. I'll finish here. Colossians chapter 3. We'll just start there with verse 1 and read these first three verses. Watch what the Apostle Paul said. Now, you can read this whole chapter or this whole book sometime. It's only four short chapters. But I quoted earlier Colossians 1:27, off-quoted, Christ in you, the hope of glory. But we see this progression through Paul's letter as he's writing here and going on further and further and talking about Christ in you and then how all the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in Christ Jesus bodily. And in him we're circumcised with a circumcision that's not of the flesh. And he's going through all of these things. First, Christ in you, and then what's in Christ, that it's the fullness of God. And then we get to chapter 3, and he says, if you then be risen with Christ, to be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Well, we know in the context of what he's writing here, if he's talking about being risen with Christ, he's talking about being filled with the Spirit of God, the gift of the Holy Ghost that raised Christ from the dead. But he's clearly identifying it doesn't mean we've arrived yet just because we've been risen with Christ, because now that we've been risen with Christ, we have to seek the things which are above. I've been filled with the Holy Ghost, but now I got to change what I'm seeking. I seek the things which are above, where Christ sits in the place of authority on the right hand of God. Verse 2, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. What is Paul talking about? He's talking about a change of where you live. You're not living on the earth anymore. Your affections have shifted. Now your affections are on things above. Your residence has changed spiritually. So I have to learn to abide in. There's a statement that's often made that says, well, I don't want to be so heavenly minded that I'm no earthly good. You ever heard that? Right? Oh, they're so spiritually minded, they're no earthly good. Well, I know what people are trying to say. They're talking, I'm sure they're right. That idea came from someone that's got this real pious, arrogant spirit, of course, right? But hear me, we want to be so spiritually minded that we're no earthly good. This is our goal. I don't want to be any good to this world. I'm not talking about people. We need to be so spiritually minded that our good is not to the earth, it's to the heavenlies. Our good is to the kingdom of God. Our good is to His will, His purpose, His plan. I'm not trying to be good for the earth. I'm trying to be good for the kingdom. And so Paul said, set your affections. He's talking to people that are filled with the Spirit, people that have been risen with Christ. Set your affections on things above. Don't set your affections on things of the earth. That's cares, riches, life, pleasures, those things we talk. But watch verse 3. For you are what? Now that almost sounds like an oxymoron, doesn't it? Because in the first verse, he said, you are risen with Christ. But in verse 3, he said, you're dead. Well, hold on a minute. I thought I was risen with Christ. Did I die again? What happened? No, no. Read the rest of the verse. You are dead and your life is what? It's hid. Your life is hid with Christ. Where's it hid at? In God. In Him. In Him. In Him. In Him. In Him you live. In Him you move. In Him you have your being. Would you stand with me tonight, please? We have looked at 5 or 6 places in Scripture. And I'm telling you, we have only scratched the surface of the Scripture. I pray the Holy Ghost would illuminate to us as we read the Word how often that we find the admonition in Scripture of in Christ, in Him, in we put a lot of emphasis, and it's good to do so. We should. We believe you must have Christ in you. We must have Christ in us. We must be baptized with the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's a promised gift to every one of us. And we must go on to learn to live in Him. We do that through His Word, through abiding prayer. You ever heard that phrase, abiding prayer? That doesn't mean just spending a long time in prayer. It may. But what are you doing in that place? You're learning to abide in Him. How do you know when you're abiding in Him? I'll tell you how I think you know. In Him is life. In Him is peace. In Him is joy. In Him is righteousness. In Him is hope. In Him is truth. Yes? And so you can go through life and storms can come. Storms will come. Amen? They will come. But when you're in Him, you have peace in the midst of the storm. Is that mind over matter? No. It just means you understand. I live in the one that created the storm. I live in the one that the storm is subject to. I live in the one that is peace. Therefore, nothing can rob my peace. Because I'm in Him. I changed addresses a long time ago. I live in a God that is love. I live in a God that is peace. I live in a God that is joy. And so when I live there, we used to sing, all these old songs are flooding my mind. I have to get Sister Hartley to learn to play all these or something. We'll sing them out. Because she knows them, she says. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. Anybody ever heard that one? And the world can't take it away. Why can't the world take it away? Well, because my address is such that the joy stays regardless of the circumstance. This is the power, the beauty, and the privilege of living and abiding in Him. The Lord is inviting you to make an address change. Change where you're living. It starts in your life of prayer, in your time in the Word, in a place of repentance, of casting off of the old man, casting off, setting our affections. Where's my affections? Would you talk to him right now before we go any further tonight? Come on, where are your affections? Where are your affections? Where are my affections? Come on, there's life in him. There's peace in him. There's direction in him. There's freedom in him. There's hope in him. Everything you need is in Christ. Everything I need is in him. This is why the adversary wars against you and against me to try to keep us living in our world and being content only with Christ in us. And he's saying, hey, if I can let them celebrate having Christ in them, but let them never make a decision to abide in Christ, I can keep them in turmoil. But if you and I will say, I'm purposing to abide in him, I'm purposing to make my place of living in him, I'm purposing to place my thought life in him, you will find out that I can live in peace and joy and righteousness and victory. In the name of Jesus, teach us, Lord, to abide in you. Teach us, Lord, what it is to live in Christ. Teach us what it is to have our life hid with Christ in you, to be dead to ourself but alive unto you, Lord. Teach us that we would walk in the power of your Spirit, that we would walk, Father, in agreement with your purpose, that your will would be accomplished in, with, and through us for the glory of God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. In the name of Jesus, we pray. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Let our mind be loosed from the bondage of this world. Let us live in the liberty wherein you have made us free, I pray. In the name of Jesus. Come on, there's freedom for your mind. There's freedom for your body. There's healing for your soul. It's found in him. It's found in him. It's found in him. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Come on, life circumstances are still going to come, but in him you overcome them. In him we have victory. In him we have life. Jesus, we worship you. Let our dwelling place be in you. Let our dwelling place be in you. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Let us be crucified with you, that we would live, yet not us, but you, Lord Jesus Christ, live in us. And the life we now live, we no longer live by our own faith, but we live by your faith. In the name of Jesus, I pray. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Come on, when you abide in him, everything that he is begins to operate through your life and through mine. When we abide in him, all that he is begins to minister and manifest itself where we go. When we abide in him, he makes everything available to operate through us for his glory and his purpose. Teach me to abide in you. Teach me to abide in you. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I can't help but think of the disciples on the boat in the storm. Jesus was in the boat with them. Yes, he was sleeping. Not because he was unconcerned. That's what they thought. He was sleeping because he was not concerned. He wasn't unconcerned with their plight, but he was not concerned with the storm. He was peace. He was in the boat with them. They weren't with him in the boat. They were in the same boat, but they were not in the same state. Does that make sense? And sometimes that's how we live our life. Jesus is with us, but we're not with him in the same state. And what happens is storms come. Crisis comes. Pain comes. Pressure. And it's the love of God that allows it to come. And it comes. And when these pain, problems, pressures come, what happens is we run to him. In the South, they have storm shelters. Some people there in Arkansas call them Frady holes. That's a Southern term, in case you couldn't tell. What it is, it's these concrete vaults. People dig holes in their yards, sit the concrete vault down in the hole. It has a door so they can go downstairs in it and shut the door when there's a tornado or a storm. My uncle's got one in his backyard. I used to be so scared of that thing when I was a kid. I'm like, man, you want to scare me to death in a storm? Put me in that thing. Got a little cot in it, so if there's a storm overnight, they could go in there and sleep. A few bottles of water. I mean, it ain't no bigger than a... I don't know, it's not big. What are they doing? They're running to a safe place in a storm. Yes? I believe the Lord allows storms. I know he does. He allows storms sometimes to come. And the reason he brings them is so that we'll run to him. He's the safe place. Yes? We run to him. Let me get in there where you are, Lord. I know that's a safe place to be. And then we're like, is the storm over? The storm's over. Thank you, Jesus. So nice to be with you, Lord, to get through that storm. And the Lord is saying, you can live here. You don't have to go back. Feel the Holy Ghost right now. You don't have to go back. I sent the storm to bring you. But I was hoping that when the storm was over, you'd stay. I have a place where I'd like you to live. It's in me. This peace that you found in your storm, it can be permanent. This peace you found, the stillness of mind that came to you when you ran to me, you can keep this. Don't run back. Please stay. Come on, I feel the beckoning of the Holy Ghost asking us, please stay. I'm inviting you to abide. I'm inviting you to live in me. This doesn't need to be a temporal thing from time to time. You can live in this place. Am I telling you life will never have problems? Of course not. I'm just telling you, in him, there's no other place to be. And so stop the vicious cycle of running to him in the storm and then going back to my way. And running to him in the storm and then going back to my way. Hear and receive and respond to the invitation of the living God that says, you can abide in me. Won't just talk to him. This altar's open if you need an altar here, if you want to turn. I feel the Holy Ghost inviting some of us into a deeper place, and I don't want to just cut it off so you can, if you need to go, you can go. But would you purpose to maybe make a residence change tonight in the Holy Ghost? Come on, there can be a residence change right here tonight in your spirit, in your mind, in your heart, by the power of the Word of God and the Spirit of God that's moving here right now. Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, let's be sensitive to the Holy Ghost tonight. Let's be sensitive and available to what the Lord is doing here. In the name of Jesus. Come on, it's the invitation of the Father.
It's the invitation of the Father saying, oh, you may have left, but the door's still open. I'm inviting you back to a place of abiding. I'm inviting you back to a place of abiding. It's the beautiful thing about the Father's house. He keeps the door open saying, you can return. You can return. As sure as you had the freedom to walk away, you have the freedom to return. There's still a room for you.
Place of the Most High, it's where I abide, it's where I abide. More and more I long to be by your side, that's where I hide. That's where I hide. In the secret place of the Most High, it's where I abide. It's where I abide. to be by your side. That's where I hide. That's where I hide. I desire you in all I do. My soul thirsts for you. I give my all to you forever. All my worship and all my praise, I give my all. I give my all my worship, all my worship and all my praise, I give my all. I give my all. Oh, my worship, oh, my praise, I give my all. I give my all. Oh, my worship, oh, my praise, I give my all.
I give my all. I give my all.
entertain His presence right there. Just entertain His presence right there. I feel like the Lord is showing us you can abide here. You can abide here. Come on, in His presence. In His presence, there's fullness of joy. In His presence, there's fullness of joy. Worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Thank you for being a dwelling place. What it is to abide in Him. And the adversary wants us to think we can only abide there, like, oh man, church was great. I wish we could just be there all the time like that. But it really is a place the Lord says you and I can live. And I can tell you a large part of it is how you start your day every day. When you get up in the morning, you know what?
I'm not just diving off into the world and my days, lists, and cares. No, the first place I'm going is I'm talking with the Father. I'm going to affirm afresh that this is where I'm going to live today. I'm going to have to get up. I'm going to have to get in the car and go to work. Before I do that, I'm going to affirm I'm in Him. So when I get to work, I'm in Him. When I get in the car, I'm in Him. How you start your day matters. So purpose. I'm going to start my day in Him. And then I'm going to live there. I'm not looking for a feeling. Understand? I'm not looking for a feeling. I want an abiding relationship. Stop being married when I'm out of my wife's company. And hope she doesn't feel unmarried when I'm out of her company. I trust she's not questioning, oh no, my husband left for a couple of days. I hope he's still going to provide for me while he's gone. Well, the two become one flesh. There's a confidence in the relationship. So it is to abide in Him. Teach us, Lord. Amen. Teach us, Lord. And please, I would, the Holy Ghost will provoke us to keep studying in the Word. You get some scripture in this that really leaps out to you and speaks to you, tell me. Let's walk this road together. I'm still digging and searching. And I was gracious tonight. You didn't get a 3-hour Bible study. And so, but there's so much in the Word. Please, amen. We thank Him one more time. Lord, thank You for the invitation. Thank You for the promise of Your Word. Thank You for the open door that You have and that You are. We thank You, Lord. Teach us. Teach us what it is to abide in You. Teach us what it is to be in Christ. Teach us what it is for our life to be hid with You in God. In Jesus' name. Thank You. Praise You, Lord. If you're a guest, we thank You so much for being with us tonight.